I take my dry cleaning to Quality First Cleaners in Warrenville, Illinois. If I was on the radio, you'd hear a cha-ching right now for a plug. Actually, they do a great job with shirts, suits, pants, alterations, even robe repairs and cleaning. My white robe for Easter time was in there this week getting all spruced up and fixed so that for Easter it will be all cleaned. And then my black robe actually will go in there probably on Easter Monday because it's white robe season for a few weeks, and then it'll get all fixed. I might take it in before then, but it takes them a good 4 or 5 days to really get it done right. Because I'm hard on these. Look at the bottom part. The felt stuff starts coming off, and sometimes this gets bad. And on the back, see this little part here? I've got tape holding it together because it was it's falling apart, and so they have to fix all that stuff. So thank you to Quality First Cleaners in Warrenville, Illinois. And when you say it on the radio, what happens? I looked at one of my white dress shirts a few days back. It was a little worse for wear. It had all of its buttons, and it even fit well, but the collar... Now, in my time here and in my life, my collars have gotten too small. I know, that happens to all of us, right? But this, the collar was not dazzling anymore. You have anyone have those collars? A white shirt? And, I tried the special ring around the collar detergent. I remember the commercials from the 70s. I tried bleach. I tried the Miracle White detergent that you don't have to buy just from the TV commercial anymore. You can just get it at the store. And I even asked the cleaners to pay special attention to the discolored collar. And the collar was, and still is, although I don't know where the shirt is anymore, not dazzling. So I bought a new shirt. Here it is. It's my new shirt. Collar is white. Does it look white? Yeah. It's in Oxford. Yeah. It was not that expensive, but I've got to say the collar, it may not be dazzling, but it does look brand new. And for a few years, probably, it won't get discolored to a point where it can't be cleaned. In this morning's Bible reading, Jesus went up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and while they were there, Jesus didn't get a new shirt. But instead, the clothes he was wearing became dazzling white like no detergent, bleach, Miracle White detergent, laundry specialist, or even a new shirt could become. So what did it mean? Peter had no idea. I think he saw the dazzling Jesus, and the first thing that he could think of was do something that doesn't sound completely off. This is good. Let me help everyone feel at home. This is the thought that comes into Peter's mind, or something like that at least. I love that Peter's first thought in a situation that was unnerving, surprising, and terrifying was about hospitality. And this place, this wasn't his mountain. It wasn't like he was offering hospitality in his home or hospitality in a church. This is, everyone was on kind of equal ground here. He didn't know where he was. They were up on a mountain. It wasn't anybody's. He wasn't showing any kind of, I'm glad you're in my place. Now let me welcome you in like a power statement. And a hospitality can have a power element because the people who belong welcome the people in. And it's a tough one to deal with because there are, like in church, when visitors come to church, we say, let's offer hospitality. But we have to pay attention to one another and say that, well, we all offer hospitality to one another instead of, I'm letting you into my club, my clubhouse, the one that did say no boys allowed. Now it says everyone allowed. Well, it should have said everyone allowed to begin with, and it shouldn't have been a power thing, but oh well. Peter wasn't talking with any kind of power. He was just saying, let's make people feel at home, even though we're kind of disheveled here. So he was simply responding with his gut. And when he couldn't think of anything else, the wiring took over and he offered hospitality. It was just in him. It was part of the way he was. If it wasn't the way he was when he was born, it was the way he had been wired over the years to do things a certain way, and hospitality was his way. So, the wiring. When Jesus stood up on the mountain with Elijah, Moses, Peter, James, and John, he glowed. He dazzled. And then a cloud overshadowed them. That's the way that the story of the transubstantiation, that's a whole different word, transfiguration of Jesus took place. And then there was a voice. The voice says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Any of you know any people that have the wiring to hear God's voice? You know anyone? I know this one person. He's told me that when he prays, he can look and see Jesus sitting in a chair next to him, and they have a conversation. He's asked me, he goes, "Do you think that's possible?" And I said, "Well, what do you talk about?" "Well, just stuff, nothing huge." And I remember, I don't know if this is the exact words, but here's the basic sense of what I've said to him. "I think that's great. If he ever tells you to do something that you know is harmful to you or to anyone, then it's not Jesus. But I think it's great that when you pray, you see Jesus and have a conversation." It's kind of the way this guy is. I know another person, she tells me that she sees things. "What kind of things?" "Well, I don't know. I saw Jesus smiling over your shoulder. I've seen him laugh. I just see things. I sense that there is good, and I sense when there is evil. You probably think I'm not right, right?" I said, "Does Jesus laugh at my jokes?" "It's not like that. I've just always been able to see things that other people don't see." So I said something pretty similar. "I think that's great. Keep looking. If you ever see something that is trying to communicate you to do something that you know is harmful to you or anyone, then it's not Jesus. But I think it's great that you see things. It's just not the way I'm wired." I am thoroughly convinced that people are wired differently. All we need to do is look around and say that different people have different personalities, right? We got lots of different personalities here in the pews today. But more than that, we've got people that experience the world in different ways. People are wired differently. I don't know how it all works, but I think some people are more in tune with the things that most people don't see or hear. I think that when Jesus glowed, the people that were there got some kind of wiring adjustment so that they could hear God speak. And he told them to listen to Jesus. Now, I don't think that there's a self-help book that says, "Change your wiring so you can see things," or "Change your wiring." It's some people see things differently than others. I don't know how to explain it. But I also don't want to tell a person who says, "When I sit down and I pray, it's like having a conversation with Jesus right there." I don't want to tell them, "Don't do that, because that's too weird." Because it's not too weird. People experience things in different ways. God's voice came to these people that day, and they heard it through whatever means it was, but they heard it. The voice said, "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him."
I put the nail here that I don't like certain foods, like pork chops.
Things you tell God that you don't like pork chops?
Yeah.
I know that God. I know that God wants to hear that stuff, but you have to eat that stuff sometimes anyway, right?
Yeah, God.
Yeah, I used to not like broccoli. What's your favorite food? Chicken? Anyone chicken fans? Fried chicken or broiled chicken? Broiled chicken is better for you, but broiled chicken. I wonder if Peter, if he had the opportunity, he wouldn't have offered pork, because he was Jewish, but he might have offered chicken, and they probably didn't have fried chicken then, but when Jesus was up on the mountain with Peter and he wanted to offer hospitality, he said, let's build a fort. It would have been cool if he said, let's have some fried chicken too. Oh, that would be great. And God said, listen to Jesus. That's great advice. You probably won't see Jesus sitting next to you. You might. You probably won't see or sense things that others don't. You might. But you don't have to have this special wiring or different wiring in order to listen to Jesus. Peter didn't know what was going on before he heard the voice, but his instinct was to show hospitality. There's a way to listen to Jesus through the things that he said, through the things that he taught. Jesus wants us to be a people of hospitality. Not power hospitality, but hospitality that says that you are welcome, I am welcome, we are welcome together. And then Jesus also gave some pretty basic instructions. Perhaps I have shared them with you before. They're the ones that are under any rules or actions we might take. They're under any voices we may hear, any visions we may see. They are more impressive and more important than any glowing face or dazzling garment. So you remember them, right? Two very basic rules for life that Jesus didn't even make up. They came from before. He was just reiterating what people already knew and what we should continue to know. And why do I say them so often? Because I don't care what you remember of anything I say except for those two things, really. What are they? Love God and love everyone. Yep. And you can say them in either order because they are woven into each other. Those are the instructions from Jesus. And God said with a voice that everyone could hear at the time, this is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Oh, what a voice. What great advice. Amen.